been out there and have been asked of Larry. But first, we want to promo the next episode of Stomping Ground that is coming up on Wednesday night at 10 o'clock. The best episode yet. Let's check out a little bit of Do or Die.
It's the Super Bowl of rodeo, so everybody's fighting and fighting being the top 15.
It's a big gamble, and I think that's why we like it.
Russell or Dota.
Not
going to
be in the money out here today.
As you can see, Russell having a tough time. It's nearing the end of the rodeo season, and in order to get back to the National Finals rodeo, he's got to put together some exceptional runs in a handful of rodeos, not helping matters. Tensions reach an all-time high between he and his team roping partner to see if Russell can qualify for the NFR. You can't miss this new episode of Stomping Ground Wednesday at 10 p.m. on Comcast Sportsnet. Did you just get out of the weight room?
Because of the staff meeting, the Bobby Medina Fitness Challenge was a little later today. So
look at you, though. You're all
flutter. A flutter.
That's one of the nice things about having the weight room down the hall.
There's no question. Had it been a lengthy distance, I might not have made it. But I'm disappointed I was not here. I was intended to be here a minute and 54 seconds earlier, at least.
All right. Well, Larry Miller is coming up at 6:05, Trailblazers president. He'll be here for the first half hour. And then Scott Howard Cooper from NBA.com, a longtime NBA writer and frequent guest here on the program. We're going to talk about, what's coming up. Not only off-season NBA, but draft and lots of other stuff as well, Wheels.
He wrote a nice article on the off-season that awaits for the Trailblazers and all the decisions to be made.
All right. Well, all that and more coming up on Trailblazers Courtside until 7 o'clock tonight. You've got it on Comcast Sportsnet.
Here's Lee, pass to Scola at the rim. Hickson blocked it out of bounds from behind.
And welcome in Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. Mike Barrett along with Brian Wheeler here tonight. Mike Rice is in town, but Mike Rice Jr., the fine coach of Rutgers University basketball, is in town, so we gave Coach Rice the night off to roam around with his son. I think he was down at Trailblazers practice today.
Yeah, I'm sure that I saw a lengthy conversation. Would have loved to have been a fly on the proverbial wall, although they weren't really behind closed doors. But would have loved to have heard what was going on in the conversation last night between Chad Buchanan and Mike Rice Jr. They were having a spirited discussion. Yes, you did. I saw that. It was kind of like you were matchmaking because you put them together, then you left, and let nature take its course.
Well, because, you know, when you talk about bringing in players from the Big East and back East, where Mike Rice Jr. has so much expertise on talent and young players, and he's been involved and plugged into the AAU programs, and he knows a lot about those kids. Chad, of course, will take any input he can get on some of the young guys and draft guys, and I know Andre Drummond is a guy that he knows very, very well, and that's a guy that is projected to be there when Portland is projected to pick, and that's about as precise as you can get right now. So, a lot of the talk is starting to turn to that. Summer League, the announcement today that the Vegas Summer League is back, I think the 13th to the 22nd in Las Vegas. We'll probably have some role in that and some good coverage. And who knows at this point, will the picks be used by Portland? Will they be traded? Will one pick be traded? Will they get New Jersey's pick? All of that stuff is to be decided, to be sure. But first up, and we're going to bring on in a moment, the president of the Trailblazers, Larry Miller. We want to talk about some good stuff and some concerning stuff concerning LaMarcus Aldridge, which a lot of you have heard about today with the hip injury and a soreness that he's had for a while. And so today they flew him to Vail, Colorado. And I know Blazer fans hear Vail, Colorado, and it gets a little bit scary because you start thinking about Odin and surgeries. But that's because it's one of the finest facilities in the world for these kind of injuries. And so they're going to try to find out. They did an MRI on his hip last week. It came up clean. Nothing in there. They don't know if it's bursitis. They don't think it's a specific injury. So he's questionable for tomorrow night. We don't know if he'll play or if he's not. I would assume probably not, but maybe that's not a safe assumption.
Officially listed as questionable, and of course Nick Batum as well, a guy that's been bothered by tendonitis. So what his situation is, and when you get to this point where there's a bit of a fine line between if you're still competing for something this season or if you are maybe trying to keep things safe for the future, it's probably not an easy decision to reach if guys are at a point where they could play, but maybe it might be wise to keep them out of games. I mean, there's that kind of decision to be made as well, and everybody, I'm sure, will lend a hand in terms of the folks that decide those kind of key personnel matters.
Yeah, Blazers taking on Golden State tomorrow night. Let's take a quick break and come back, and when we do, we'll be joined by the president of the Trailblazers, Larry Miller, who will be in studio for a couple of seconds. And we'll have a lot of questions for him, and all that will continue right after this on Trailblazers Courtside. And welcome back, Trailblazers Courtside. By the way, coming up Thursday night, if you are around the Nines downtown, the hotel and the restaurant bar, and the Trailblazers are hosting a special event benefiting Make It Better and Rosemary Anderson High School. That's 6 to 8. I'll be there. Coach Caleb Canales, Nick Batum, Hashim Tabit, they'll be in attendance, and there's room left. If you want to be a part of that, it's going to be a great night, a chance to mix and mingle and hear those guys. We're going to ask them some questions. Audience members going to have a chance to ask some questions. So if you want to be involved, call the Nines, ask for Heidi, and purchase your ticket and come be a part of that, and all benefits charity. So it'll be a very cool event and be a chance to get up close and personal with Nick and with Hashim and Coach Canales and Larry Miller, president of the Trailblazers, our guest here on Trailblazers Courtside in studio. I mentioned Larry, LaMarcus Aldridge, and that's certainly where some of the concern is today about the hip that we've heard about the last couple of weeks. A hip that he had injured in college and because had some soreness that hasn't gone away. I assume, and hopefully it's a safe assumption, that it's similar to Nick Batum's aching knee and that it's just a product of a schedule and some heavy, heavy minutes, and perhaps rest will do him some good. The original MRI last week, I know, came back negative. So he's in Colorado now just to exploratory, find out what's going on?
Just from a precautionary perspective to consult with the doctor there in Colorado. But I agree, I think, with your assessment that hopefully some rest and not playing will solve it. So hopefully it's nothing serious.
Your interim head coach, Caleb Canales, has done a terrific job. I've seen a lot of guys, you know, it's the old cliche in sports about one game at a time and so forth. I'm not even sure that Caleb looks past the next couple of hours, let alone a day or a game. So I know anytime I even remotely broach the subject to him about long-range thinking and so forth, he doesn't want to hear anything to do with that. But you, as the president of the organization, obviously have to do that. Does there come a point where there is a shift in terms of focus for more future thinking as opposed to getting things done in terms of trying to win games for this particular season?
Well, I think, you know, for right now, we're still somewhat in the playoff hunt, and I know Caleb wants to go out and win. But even since he's been in this role, he's been playing the younger guys a little more. I mean, we've all seen Babbitt has gotten more minutes. He's been out there playing more. We're seeing Nolan is starting to get into the rotation a little bit more. JJ's been playing quite a bit and quite well, as we've seen. And, you know, so is Luke. I mean, Luke's shown that with the additional minutes, he is getting more confident out there, and I think that's showing through in his play. So I think as the season goes on, we'll see as we kind of wind down, maybe those guys getting a little bit more, especially if it looks like it makes sense to rest LaMarcus because of his hip deal or to rest Nick because of what's going on with his knee, then we'll see those guys starting to get more playing time.
A week ago on this program, we had Joel Prisbilla on, and he was talking glowingly about Caleb. And, of course, he knows him well and has been around him a long time. And we've heard other players kind of echo those same things. And even have seen, you know, we played at Oklahoma City 2 games after Caleb was named the interim. And after the ball game, Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, James Harden all came over and you know, gave Caleb hugs and gave him their support. Will it make a difference at the end? And Joel, last week in the program, I asked him, then would you endorse Caleb? And he said, absolutely. You know, he's got our ears. He's got us playing hard. He knows what he's doing. Will it make a difference in the end if the players endorse a certain candidate over somebody else? Will that strengthen Caleb's possibilities if he is considered for the permanent job?
Well, it definitely will be a factor because, you know, we want to make sure that whoever's coaching the team is someone that the players feel a connection to, are able to relate to. And, you know, Caleb clearly has that going for him, for sure. I've seen how, and it's been pretty obvious if you look at how they've been playing, even games that we are not necessarily winning, they're going out and competing and playing hard, and you can see that the effort is there. And that's basically what he asked them to do from the very beginning, and it seems like they're living up to it. I heard that when he first practice, he got all the guys together and said, I'm only asking two things, play hard and play together. And he got that commitment from each and every guy individually, and they're going out and doing that.
Looking back, I know you have great respect for him as a person. He has been a friend. I'm sure he still is a friend. How difficult was the Nate decision?
It was a very difficult decision. Nate is a friend, but he's also a great person, not just a great coach, but a great individual. And he did a incredible amount for this organization. And it was a really tough decision and a tough thing to have to do. But it just seemed like it was the right thing for the team and the right thing for the organization. I'm sure you guys were a little bit surprised being out on the road and, you know, having that happen. But it was tough because, like I said, Nate is he's a friend. He still is a friend and always will be. And I consider him one of the best people I know, not just coaches, but best people. And he's a class act. I mean, you could see just by the way he handled everything. He came into the office and talked to all the people and went and gave every person in the building a hug. And, you know, he's just a class individual. The ad that he took out in the Oregonian, it was simply what you would expect from Nate, which is class.
Okay, the next item is this GM search. And we've heard you talk about last couple of weeks that the search has begun once again. And I'll ask you again, like I asked you about Caleb, and the question that I get asked a lot is, Chad Buchanan a candidate for the permanent job? Because it's kind of gone back and forth a little bit where it looked like he was, and then it was announced that he would not be considered. And I know you've had some interviews as of late, and we're not going to ask you who you interviewed, but is he being considered among that as well?
Yeah, Chad's done a really good job over this time period where he's filled in, and definitely is being considered. From our perspective, if we bring somebody else in, we want to make sure that person is adding value, not duplicating what we already have, not bringing in someone that, you know, is going to be a duplication of guys that we already have, including Chad. So if we feel that there's not someone that's adding value or that's incremental to the staff that we have there, then we'll go with what we have. So Chad is in the running.
And another question, and we've heard this talked about, but looking at the evidence, I mean, you look at what happened on trade deadline day, and I'm not just talking about Nate here, I'm talking about the trades that put you in a good position this summer. The signing of J.J. Hickson, grabbing him just before he clears waivers, that would indicate that you do have a general manager in place who's done some good things. And people assume that because he has the interim tag and that nobody's in place, that everything has been in idle. But all of the evidence points to the the opposite of that. And those are all pretty strong moves when you consider bold moves at coming to a crossroads and deciding what you want to do this summer. A lot of experts around the NBA said, I still don't know how they got that first-round draft pick from New Jersey. And you move guys out to in order to put yourself in a good spot this summer. So it's not like you've been in
on it. And you know, I've said this a couple of times already, but when people say, well, when are you guys going to get a GM? We have a GM. It's Chad Buchanan right now. Now, he has the interim title in front of it, but he's our GM. And it's not like because there hasn't been someone that has the permanent title of GM that we've been sitting on our hands. Chad has been leading the basketball operations, and he's been the driver of the decisions that we've been making out there. And we've made, to your point, some really good decisions that have set us up, I think, to be in good shape for going into this summer and into next season. You know, to me, it's like it's usually you look at, you know, we lost Brandon Roy and got nothing in return. It's not like we were able to pick up another player or a draft pick. We lost Greg Oden and got nothing in return. And in spite of that, we have positioned ourselves to be able to be right back in the thick of it next summer. If we go out and we can sign a solid or a strong free agent with the cap space that we have, we can use our draft picks, either use them to draft players or put them in a trade or somehow use those picks. Our feeling is we took a half a step back this season to be able to take two forward next season, and I'm confident that we will.
I'm not sure there's any owner in the NBA that gets his actions get scrutinized as much as Paul Allen if he sends out a tweet talking about the Seahawks or some personal hobby of his. There's an immediate assumption he doesn't care about the Blazers anymore. If he doesn't show up to a home game, he doesn't care about the Blazers anymore. If there's an interim head coach, an acting general manager, he doesn't care about the Blazers anymore. So can you speak to his level of commitment, his level of interest in continuing to see this franchise prosper and grow?
Paul's level of commitment and interaction is as high as it's ever been. He's constantly interacting, whether it's with me or with Chad or with different folks within the organization on a daily basis. And he's somewhere, I think, out in the South Pacific or something like that right now.
He just tweeted a photo from the bottom of the ocean a little while ago.
But he is still on a daily basis, multiple times a day, in touch with what's going on with the Trailblazers and in tune with what's going on with the Trailblazers. And I think just the opposite, the moves that we made, the things that he approved that we presented to him to do, they show that the commitment is even more there to take this team forward. We could have sat on our hands and, you know, at the end of the season, you know, just let things kind of fall into place or see how they worked out, as opposed to being aggressive and making moves that we know are going to benefit this team long term. And Paul was involved in those decisions. He approved those decisions, and he still is intimately involved in this team. The rumor about him selling the team, I think he squashed that pretty quickly. And again, where that was coming from, I don't know, some unnamed sources. But the reality is, you know, he is just as committed and just as involved as he has been. He's got other interests. Paul is a guy that has many, many interests, the Trailblazers being one of his favorites, but he's got many interests. So he's, again, out in the middle of the ocean somewhere pursuing another one of his interests. That's why he hasn't been at the game.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more of Blazers president Larry Miller with us and a little bit more on that topic when we come back. Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, back after this. Still to come on the program, Scott Howard Cooper, longtime NBA writer, now writing for NBA.com. And we'll talk with him about what's to come. He had a nice article on the Trailblazers recently. It talked about how their offseason could unfold. And one guy who knows a little about that and certainly has some plans with that is Larry Miller, our Blazers president, who is here in studio. You to talk about Paul Allen, and we'll put that to bed a little bit more. You know, it came up as, and people have kind of, it seems like for a couple of years, something will spot come up here and there. Oh, he's going to sell the team. But so to reiterate what you just said before, you have no belief that is going to be the case, and nothing that he has said to you guys or actions by him or interest level from him has indicated anything like that.
Absolutely. Unequivocally.
Okay.
And which is what I told someone else last week. But no. And, you know, again, Paul's interest, his involvement is no different than it's ever been. You know, he still, like I said, is in contact on a daily basis, whether it's myself or Chad. He's still involved in all the decisions that we make. And still is enthusiastic about where this team can go and still has a goal of bringing a championship to the city of Portland. So, no, I mean, I have no knowledge whatsoever of anything like that.
And you probably would.
I would. I would.
Right.
Now, when
I would say, probably shouldn't talk about that if I knew something about it. You know, one of the things that always kind of bothers me is that, you know, folks in the media here tend to insinuate that for some reason we are trying to deceive people. And that's never the case here. I mean, you know, what I can say, I say. What I can't say, I say I can't talk about that, because there are things that in any business, just like in sports and everywhere else, that you can't talk about sometimes. But anything that I can talk about, I will. And it offends me that reporters, you know, people around here insinuate that this organization is somehow trying to deceive fans and deceive the media. That's offensive to me. And I've expressed that to a couple of reporters who I've had conversations with, because, again, I'm not going to purposely say something that's not true. That's just, I'm just not going to do that to the fans, to the media. If I can't talk about it, I'll say, hey, I can't talk about that, or I'm not going to go there, or whatever. But I'm not going to say something that I don't believe 100% to be true.
Looking at this upcoming offseason, sometimes when fans think lottery, they think high draft choices, they think money to be spent on free agents, there's a part of the thinking maybe that there's an assumption it's going to be rebuilding. But you've been very quick to say that it's going to be a lot more retooling if everything happens the way that you would like it to be, that there's no reason why this team can't be right back being very, very competitive next season.
Well, you know, we've got an all-star player in LaMarcus Aldridge who is kind of getting to his prime. I think LaMarcus is just now coming into his prime. We've got some young players who are very, very good players in Nicholas, who we plan to re-sign, in Wesley, who, you know, came into this organization and has proven that he can play in this league. We've got a number of other young players that, you know, we think have potential to be able to help this team. And we still think that we are a piece or two away, a player or two away from being right back in there and able to compete. And our goal is to go out this summer and try to find that one or two players that help us to get there. So to me, rebuilding means you're you know, going all the way down to the bottom and you're starting to build, you're building your way back up. I think what where we are right now is, you know, we're retooling. We're making some adjustments. We're bringing in, you know, looking to bring in some pieces that are going to help us to win games. But I feel very confident about our ability to be competitive and to be right back in the mix next season.
It's a pretty good position to be in when you have, like as you said, you listed off some of the guys that are under contract. There are only five of them, six with Nick. And then if you decide that you want to qualify Hickson and make him restricted, you can do that. I would imagine for other executives around the NBA in this day and age when teams get strapped financially and strapped into the cap, over the cap, that this is a pretty enviable spot, especially with a strong draft, whether you decide to stay in or trade the picks and get out, to be able to, as Will says, retool while keeping the foundation and a couple of the pillars that you do have. That's a position not a lot of teams are in.
And again, I think it's not by accident that we're in this position. This was planned. This is what we, you know, we, once we realized that we weren't going to have Brandon, We weren't going to have Greg. Then it was like, okay, what do we need to do to position ourselves to make sure that we continue to be a competitive team? And again, it was not by accident. And, you know, again, folks saying, well, you don't have a GM, you guys. You mentioned J.J. Hixon. That was kind of a brilliant move. I mean, I'm not going to take the credit for it. That was Chad and the guys out there. But to wait till the right timing to go out and say, okay, we're going to claim this guy, knowing that if we went too soon, that somebody else could claim him. And the way it works is a team with a worse record, if they claimed him as an addition, they get the option on him. But knowing how to do it, timing it just right, so that we could pick up a guy who could potentially be a help to this team going forward. I think if you watch the way he's played, you know, he brings it. He brings it every night.
And wasn't there another part of the Houston trade that brought a trade exception with it?
Yes, that allowed us
that allowed you to get Hicks. And that's something that until I talked to Chad about it, I don't even know if I realized that, and I've never really seen that written, but involved in that trade with Houston and sending Marcus Camby there and getting the guys back to beat in Flynn, what not only did it help you with cap room, but it helped you by getting the trade exception, which made the Hixon signing possible.
Exactly. And so, again, I mean, to me, these are things that are not happening by accident. These are things that are planned, that are strategic, and that, you know, the basketball team led by Chad has been planning and executing.
Lastly, when we talk about pieces for the future, there are some folks that want to believe that despite having some money to potentially offer free agents, nobody's going to want to come to Portland of any quality. You've been around the league for a long time. You've known people that are key players in this league long before your time as president of the Trailblazers. Can you speak to what you believe in your conversations and through connections with agents that to represent key players with having some cap flexibility, will there be interest among key players that will be available as free agents to come to Portland?
Well, you know, one of the things that I knew this before coming here, and I, you know, it became even clearer after I got here, is that Portland has always been considered as one of the premier teams and organizations in the league. Now, you know, when you talk about LA and New York and Chicago, the major markets, it's hard to compete with those guys, right? Because it's just hard to compete with them. But I think when you start looking at anybody other than, and that's not to say we're not going to compete with those guys. I mean, we competed with Miami and Chicago for Joel, and Joel decided to come here.
And for Kurt Thomas,
and
by
for
the way.
Kurt Thomas, because Joel had been here before. He knew what this organization represented. Kurt had heard about what this organization means and what we do here. And so I believe that we can compete for some of the top players out there. You know, people say, oh, well, you know, Scottie Pippen came to Portland when he was, you know, at that star level. I mean, it was kind of toward the end of his career, but he was a star at the time. And you think about, and I've talked to players who've been here, Juwan Howard, James Jones. These guys talk about how much they enjoyed being here in Portland and the fact that, you know, it was a great experience for them. And one of the major parts of it is the fan base here. People around the league talk about the fan base here. Last year when we were playing Dallas in the playoffs, their coach went back and said, you know, you fans need to be like the fans in Portland.
Yeah.
So Portland, the Portland fan base, in addition to the organization, in addition to our ownership, which, again, people around the league also believe that our owner has a commitment to trying to win. You start putting those things together, and I think we can go out and compete. And the fact that we've got a nucleus of a good team. You know, a lot of these guys are going to look at, if I go to a team, is my going there going to help them to win and help them to get to another level? And I think we have a team, we have the pieces in place that, you know, a good free agent out there could look at our team and say, hey, I can go there and we have a shot at winning.
And you can offer a starting role in a couple of cases, and that's pretty attractive to the big time guys. Larry, thanks for the time as always. We always like getting you in and asking some of these questions and sometimes ask them more than one time, which we did tonight.
Hey. No, my pleasure. Okay. Pleasure to be here. Especially since Rice wasn't here.
Yeah, right. We made it easy on you tonight.
That's right.
All right, the President, Larry Miller, we'll take a quick break, and then a segment after that, we'll come back with Scott Howard Cooper. All that and more coming up on Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power.
All right, welcome back. Trailblazers Courtside. I want to thank the president, Larry Miller, for stopping by and joining us. Coming up in our next segment, we'll be joined by Scott Howard Cooper from NBA.com. And by the way, the producer of our program, Adam Willis, Phil Beard, the director of video, Greg St. Martin, John McConnell on graphics, Charles Chavany is in on audio tonight, Buck and Courier here on cameras, Bruce Williams, the engineer tonight, and of course, the captain, Rich Patterson, is back in. Look at him. He didn't even know we were coming to the camera. Rich,
hey,
there
hey,
you are.
Hey. Yes.
We should make sure you're not picking your nose or something next time
we
come in.
Just working
okay.
hard,
that's
making
good.
A buck.
That's good to hear. We'll take a quick break so we can get a lot of time with Scott Howard Cooper. We went long with Larry, of course, and it was very worthwhile. We'll also check the NBA scoreboard in a little bit because Boston is still winning in Miami. It looks like they're going to close that one out.
Wow.
Maybe some cracks in the foundation with the Heat. We'll see. They've had some tough losses as of late. Back after this on the Trailblazers Radio Network, trailblazers.com, and Comcast SportsNet. Is it raining outside? Oh, my goodness. We see a live shot for those of you watching on Comcast SportsNet. And welcome back to Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. Blazers back home tomorrow night. Golden State is in town, and then Dallas on Friday. Then on Saturday, we head for Sacramento. Mm-hmm. Sunday, play the Kings. Monday, play in Phoenix. And then back home for the final regular season home game against Utah. And then gone for...
Last three,
right.
Day game in Sacramento, and we might see our next guest, who often is at Kings games in Sacramento. We'll have to find out if he's traveling.
Yes.
Scott Howard Cooper is with us, and I know that, Scott, we're going to put up a nice picture of you on Comcast Sportsnet, and
yeah.
I bet it does not look like what you look like today. Do you still look like when we first saw you earlier in the season?
Actually, I probably look a little bit different, as a matter of fact.
When did you pose shirtless? I don't remember.
I'm just surprised you guys found a picture that you would describe as good. I didn't know any of those existed.
You have a tie on and a sport coat. You look like you're posing for an alumni yearbook or something.
Sacramento's very cutting edge. It's all about the GQ look in Sacramento.
As well we know. Well, you put together a very nice article talking about the Blazer options in the off season, and we were just talking to President Larry Miller about the fact that there aren't going to be a lot of teams that maybe have as many options as the Trailblazers will. Talk about how you envision, and I guess not having a general manager and a head coach definitively in place maybe puts a little more guesswork into the equation. But as we also talked about with Larry, do you foresee, though, if the right decisions are made, that the Blazers could be right back in the thick of things, competing for a playoff spot and hopefully more next season if they do the right things in the offseason?
I do. I definitely do. The right things is a bit of a subjective term because – they may come to it as they get towards mid-June and the end of June with the draft and decide that the right thing is to use the draft picks rather than the trade options that they may have. They may just not be that attractive. So the Blazers could come away with two lottery picks and say, you know, we had a very good draft. That was the right thing to do, but that's not necessarily going to get you to the playoffs next season. I think what the interesting thing with Portland is that they have no great desire, the Blazers do, to have some sort of three-year plan. They don't want to go to LaMarcus and say, you know, hang tight, help these guys develop, and they certainly don't want to go to the fans after it had been so many years of saying, you know, we're going in a good direction, and then it was the injuries, and then it was more injuries, and there's just been, obviously this year was one giant setback, so they don't want to have to go to people and say, okay, you know, we're going to be really good in two or three more years, hang in there with us. I think that the Blazers are one of the real interesting situations heading into the draft, and that's what my article focused on, not so much who's going to be the GM and who's going to be the coach, but just laying out these different options they have for the draft.
Given the cap room with the two draft picks, in what is assumed is going to be a good draft, at least possibly a deep draft, one of the deeper in the last few years, will it be easier for them to find perhaps a trade partner this year, given what is out there and given not only the talent and the timing of some of the free agents that have come up, but other teams' desire perhaps to dive into this draft and dangling
maybe two lottery picks in this draft along with their cap room. It gives you an opportunity not only to strike in the draft or strike by using the picks, but then also the cap money as well.
That's a great point. When we talk about the options that the Blazers have going forward, the cap room certainly should be in that conversation, because maybe they say, we're going to use one of the picks, we're going to trade one of the picks, and then still get one more veteran through free agency or make another move of some kind in the summer. You're right, they can go a lot of different directions. The one asterisk in this conversation, of course, is we don't know, A, where the picks are going to be until the lottery, and B, if in fact they will have two picks. It's a possibility.
Yes.
That they will have only their own pick in the lottery, and if the Nets pick goes 1, 2, or 3, it stays with New Jersey. But if it's 4 or lower, it goes to Portland. So there's a bit of a wait and see thing heading to the lottery, and then things will be much clearer, I think, that night after the ping pong balls land in New York City. Portland will have a much better sense of the moves ahead of them, because right now, it's a possibility of two picks from 4 to 14, and or, you know, one pick somewhere a little bit in the mid lottery to the late lottery, and the Nets keep their pick. There's just so many options right now. They're going to know a lot more on the night of May 30th.
The other factor that perhaps has not really been explored that much, the cap room available does not necessarily have to be spent on an available free agent. By having that, the Blazers could take back a contract and be able to assume more dollars coming in as opposed to going out. And so with also the luxury tax penalties being a little greater, do you see some teams that maybe might be looking to unload a salary of a good player just to avoid being in luxury tax land, that potentially the Blazers could take advantage of that opportunity?
There is no question that the increasing cost, the increasing demands of the luxury tax as we move forward into the, you know, past the first year of the new collective bargaining agreement does make a difference. I think you're going to see that some teams are going to want to get away from some salaries. But at the same time, you're not going to get a great player, I don't think, that way. Nobody's going to give you a star player just to shed salary. At some point, it's still worth it for that team to keep a guy unless they're getting much in return. I think when you look at guys who get moved for a draft pick, for example, you're looking at good players but maybe not great players. And we don't always know how that's going to work out. I think this is a perfect time to be making that point on the week that Lamar Odom has basically been told by the Dallas Mavericks to have a good time at home for the rest of the season, because they got him at what at the time everybody said, oh, my God, that's a steal. And it obviously hasn't worked out that way. But I think you and I are on the same page that the good thing about the Blazers situation is that they have a lot of different options, and they're looking to be aggressive. They're not in a rebuilding mode. If it turns out that they use one of the picks or even two of the picks, depending on where it lands, then that's one thing. But I know that their mindset at this point is let's get good now. Let's not get good in 2 years.
Scott, you're down there in Sacramento, and one question that has been asked a lot in the last couple of weeks around Portland is, what did the Kings not see in J.J. Hickson that Portland evidently saw? And we know it's about timing. It's about the right situation in the NBA.
Yeah.
It's not like this is a totally unusual situation. But oftentimes, I mean, when Hickson goes down against the Clippers with no Aldridge playing and goes for 29 and 14 against the Clippers front line, what happened in Sacramento for the Kings to decide we have no use for this guy?
I would say that right now there's more than a couple people in the Kings front office that are just kind of throwing their arms up and saying, now? You're doing this now? Or was this, you know, the previous 80% of the season when they see some of the numbers that J.J. Hickson put up? In Sacramento's defense, I think they had the same impression that almost the rest of the league did, because the Kings tried to trade him and couldn't get anything in return for J.J. Hickson. And the Kings didn't even have to give up all that much to get him. And, you know, Omri Caspi was a guy that people thought was a nice prospect, but it's not like, oh, my gosh, the Cavaliers got Omri Caspi. So I don't think that people are nearly as high on J.J. Hickson as they were a few years ago when, if you remember, the Cavaliers would not include him in the trade to the Suns to get Amari Stoudemire.
Yeah.
So I think that good for J.J. Hickson, but this is a hot streak, what he's been able to contribute. he needs to be able to do this for months at a time, not weeks at a time, before it becomes anything real.
Not that long ago, a nice pregame celebration in Sacramento at the Power Balance Pavilion with Mayor Kevin Johnson and the Maloof brothers, and hailing the start of a new era of Sacramento Kings basketball with a new arena to be built, and everybody was happy, and the foundation was there. And now things seem to have hit a thud for some reason. Where do things stand with progressing from that night of celebration that everything was going to look so rosy for the future and actually making it come to fruition?
There are a lot of people lining up to get fitted for braces for the whiplash that they have right now. It's been incredible because the sides came back from All-Star Weekend in Orlando feeling like they had a done deal. The city, the team, the league, AEG, the arena developer that has done a lot of beautiful buildings around the world. And I think most people felt like this is kind of a done deal. And then it went to the city council in Sacramento, and it got approved by an overwhelming majority, and there was a great deal of celebration. And then it just sort of hit the skids, because I think most people in Sacramento would tell you that the owners, the Maloof family, drove this thing right back into a ditch. Their popularity rating was in the ground in January, February. They went to Orlando. They got this deal done. It got approved by the city council. Gavin Maloof, one of the co-owners, shows up at the city council meeting and gets a standing ovation. The deal gets passed. People are thinking, this is great. Finally, this thing is going to be resolved. The end of arena fatigue. And now the Maloofs are balking at a pre-planning expenditure that showed up in a term sheet that they agreed to in Orlando in late February and had plenty of chance to read it. Now they're saying they're not going to pay. The league has fronted the first $200,000 of the $3.2 million that is due. And to make matters worse, the Maloof spokesman has started throwing around phrases like, we have to look at all our options, meaning Anaheim, Seattle, Kansas City, Vancouver, you know, city of your choice, fill in the blank here, which is a ridiculous move by the family spokesman and by the family to allow him to say that if they wanted that word put out. There's no way that this thing should have turned so incendiary so fast. I don't think it's derailed. I don't think it's completely over. But I do say for sure that all the goodwill that the Maloofs have earned back, they've now handed over again.
Scott, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. We'll see you Sunday afternoon, perhaps.
Great. Have a good night.
All right. Scott Howard Cooper, NBA.com. He's down in Sacramento, based out of there. And, of course, Blazers take on the Kings on Sunday afternoon. Tomorrow night, Blazers taking on Golden State. We'll take a break, our final break, back to wrap things up on Trailblazers Courtside after this. I was like Crawford at the foul line. Trailblazers tomorrow night taking on Golden State. This is our final segment. Let's get a couple of although he missed one. Where did he miss one the other night?
He missed one to go down to two. Every time he misses one, he goes down
yeah,
to
I know.
One spot. That's how tough it
he's
is
back
to lead
in
the league.
Second, but he was 8-for-8 last night.
Yes.
So is he back in first?
I'll tell you.
All right. You tell me while I'm getting a couple of questions. How much time do we have? Oh, a couple minutes. From Twitter tonight, hashtag TV Courtside is always the address.
He's number one.
There you go. Let's see. What are the odds we keep both first-round picks this offseason? I would say the odds are low, but that's just a guess on my part. You agree?
I would agree, yes.
Okay.
Agree.
There was a question for Larry Miller we should have gotten to. What did he think of Nike's redesign of the NFL uniforms? Would you like to see a similar redesign of NBA uniforms? I kind of would.
That would have been a good question. I kind of would.
I like the Trailblazer stripes, but I could see some freshening up.
A little tweaking.
Yeah. $12 million a year for Batum, unmatchable. I don't think he'll be offered $12 million a year. That's borderline unmatchable by Portland. You think?
Yeah, $12 million, that's a lot.
I don't think he'll get offered that, but I think that would be and a guy we saw last night, Goran Dragic. I think he'll be a $6 to $8 million guy in the offseason, and I think would be a tremendous fit and a tremendous point guard for Portland.
His price is going up by the day. But, yes, I think he would be. And doesn't he have an agent that we know fairly well?
Yes, he has Bill Duffy. And one other one, I got a quick question. Can Seattle still use the supersonic name if Sacramento moves there? Yes, I understand that was part of the deal when moving, correct?
Yeah, I think so. But despite what Scott Howard Cooper was saying, I don't know how the Maloofs think they would be that their desire to move if they go that route would be any more amenable than it was last year when the NBA told them don't even try to put in a request to move. So I don't know. They got to make that thing work in Sacramento.
It's a mess. Move New Orleans first.
That's
all right. Trailblazers and Golden State tomorrow night. We'll talk to you both on radio. 7:30 start, by the way. Late start tomorrow night. But thanks for watching Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. We'll talk to you tomorrow night.